This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Hello, 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 and welcome along. It's been a momentous year and it just keeps getting more and more momentous. On The Wire is now in video format and we have one of the true legends of the game on our very special first show today on video format. That's none other than Fran Berry, reporting live from Leopard Sound in a Hugo Boss outfit, no less. How are you, Fran?
All good, Johnny. I'm in my hoodie getting ready for the warm-up for Leopard Sound today, so it couldn't be better.
Live from Leopard Sound, live from Johnny Mac's kitchen, I think. Possibly wearing cycling shorts, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, all set for a spin once we finish up, Johnny. But yeah, the weather's good and looking forward to the weekend.
Thanks to our sponsors, Bar One Racing. And Duke, you're live from your brother's place, I believe.
That's right, Johnny. That's right. Yeah. It's a long story, but I'm here in Technicolor.
You must be missing Leopard Sound today. We're recording this on Friday. We're obviously going to talk about Saturday and Sunday's action. Cracking card. Stallions starting off, the likes of Churchill and so forth. Really good staying race. You just look like the anguish in your face over there.
Well, I mean, nostalgia is a seductive liar, as a great man once said. But it's all got on top of me a bit this week, because then I had a quick look at the Navan card tomorrow. Just a quick look, because it looks really tough to me. But lo and behold, didn't I see Hurricane Sky running, and I was reminded of our man Fran Berry striking up a rich relationship with Hurricane Sky at the Leopardstown Even meets about 5 or 6 years ago.
Up the wide track, didn't you, Fran?
Yeah, that was my preferred route in Leopardstown, definitely. And like a day like today when you get rain, you can't beat being wide and finishing wide and late down the middle.
Yeah, and that's it's a great kind of honest introduction where we've basically two cards to go through today, dear viewer. And Juki said he's had a quick look at Navan, which was one of them, and he's actually had 24 hours because that was a Thursday declaration to look at it. So we're getting off, we're starting as we mean to go on.
Difficult card, Johnny. It's a very difficult card.
I found two cracking bets at Navan. Oh. We'll get to that in due course. As Fran has found one as well, and Johnny Mac has found one as well. Juki's gone for his nap at Nace. All of that is to come, but let's get to Aidan O'Brien, and he's going to have a chat now about the Derby, the Oaks, and what has happened and what might be happening later on this season.
Aidan O'Brien, how are you keeping?
Good, Johnny. Thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for coming on, and just your reflections on what was a fascinating run of the Dante today.
Yeah, no, we were happy with the horse, Johnny. Obviously, he didn't have an ideal preparation, but we were very happy with his run, really.
How does a horse learn from today? He's had two runs at the Curragh as a two-year-old. He's obviously come late in his races, as you said. Then he didn't have an ideal prep. Would that stand to him today a good deal, you think?
Well, he had to travel today, and he had to have a run today if he was going to run in the Derby, really. I suppose he did both those things, and now it'll depend on how he will come out of it, really.
Yeah, and were you kind of, I guess the last couple of furlongs were particularly satisfying the way he knuckled down?
Yeah, no, we were very happy with him really through the whole race. The race was in two halves. Holly just went an even pace in front, but the horses that were second, third, fourth pulled back off her, and then they kind of sprinted then to try catch up with her again. And it probably wasn't ideal for high definition the position he was in, because he was probably always going to be getting there late. But we were delighted with the run really.
Yeah, and just in terms of, if you could explain to people the bloods and so forth, what does that effectively mean for a horse, and how can it affect one's performance?
Yes, you never know, really. It was just shown up that he maybe had some little infection or some inflammation somewhere in his body, but we couldn't find it. So if we couldn't find it, there was nothing we could treat. So obviously then we just had to wait and hope that it might rectify itself.
Yeah.
We reblooded him every single day, and it slowly disappeared itself, whatever it was, but we don't know what it was.
He seems to be a horse with a lovely attitude to racing.
He's lovely, straightforward, good natured horse, Johnny. Absolutely, always was.
And was Ryan kind of happy enough with him after?
Yeah, very.
And is it sort of all systems go to Epsom now?
Listen, obviously, we always wait to see how a horse comes out of a race for a week or 10 days after before you put them on a schedule for their next race, you know. But obviously, the plan running was Epsom in mind.
in an ideal world, how many would you like to run in the Derby?
Actually, I'm not sure ever. It's never, like, there's no such thing as an ideal world, as we all know. We'll see what's there and what we're happy with, and then the lads will decide what they want to run themselves, really.
Just in relation to high definition, in relation to Bolshoi Ballet, your preparation with him this year has kind of, it's almost gone back in time in terms of the old days of the Ballysacks into the Derrenstown. I remember Yates going there and all the good horses that you trained there. And you must be absolutely delighted with just how he's progressed and that ability to quicken at the end of his races.
Yeah, no, we were very happy with him, everything he's done. Like, obviously, he went to France at the end of last year for experience of traveling, and he did that. And the plan was always to give him the two runs before the Derby, if that's the way it was working this year. And he's had those two runs, and like, we've been very happy with his two runs, really.
Was the French thing, like, and obviously run on heavy ground, was that a race that you'd kind of say, well, that's not necessarily him?
No, well, he only went to France for experience for this year. He won his maiden very impressive in Leopardstown before, but we weren't going to, the plan was not to travel him this year early before the Derby, but he still had to have the experience of traveling. So that's really why he went there. And the ground was heavy and the trip was long, and obviously it wasn't what he would ideally have wanted, but he needed to do it with the view to this year.
Yeah, and what was your reaction from the Ballysacks? Were you thinking he'd come on from that?
Well, obviously, it was the first of the, it was the, like, we the plan was to give them two runs before the Derby, and that's why, like, that would always be the intention, like, when you're giving them a couple of preps for a big race, really.
You've trained lots of Galileos down the year, and you're obviously, you're very fortunate to have them year on year, but is there something different about this horse? Is his stride length, or something about the way he finishes his races, from his winning his maiden in Leopardstown? He does have a bit of an X factor about him, does he?
Very straightforward, good mind, relaxes, looks like he's going to get further than a mile and a quarter, quickens very well, but very good-natured horse, you know. But I suppose he quickens very well, and he had quickened in both his races, hasn't he, really?
Mm. What was your reaction to the Derrenstown then?
No, very happy. It went very straightforward. He was very happy to make his own running, but there was another horse that made it for him, so that was fine too. He led him into the straight, I think. But when Ryan asked him to quicken it, like, we were very happy the way he quickened.
They're obviously two very good colts.
Yeah, no, listen, we always thought they were very nice colts from last year. And obviously they showed that last year, both of them, really.
Just in terms of Epsom then, like, would they be tactically straightforward, or would you like, you know, another horse to help them along in the race, ideally?
No, I think they're tactically very straightforward with good minds, like you saw, you know, so... very, very straightforward horses, really.
You mentioned good minds, but like, you've this is year after year after year after year, you have these Galileo progeny who just run to the line.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a trait. They're very genuine, honest to God horses, really. And I suppose that's what Galileo puts into them, really.
And just if we move on to the fillies then, I thought Santa Barbara's performance was quite extraordinary, really, in the guineas. I mean, her dad obviously did the double, and she wasn't a million miles off trying to do the double. She went in on the back of winning the maiden, travelled like a lovely horse, and maybe it was a bit of inexperience, but what did you make of the run?
No, very happy. Like, always the plan was, I suppose, really before her maiden was, or always her next run was going to be the guineas. She was never going to race that much. So, obviously it wasn't ideal that the ground was quick ground and the pace was slow. It probably wasn't ideal for her. But we knew that she had to learn, and she had to run. And especially with the plan was her second run was going to be the Oak. So she definitely had to run for experience.
Any doubt about her getting a mile and a half?
Actually, listen, I suppose she's a filly with a lot of speed. So with any horse, you're never sure until you see them do it. But she's by Camelot, but she has a lot of speed, a lot of natural speed.
How has she been since the guineas?
Good. Everything has went good since.
And you think, like, would Epsom be okay to her in terms of the track and so forth?
I thought she handled Newmarket well. She was a bit green going down into the dip, and like, she was going down into the dip on very fast ground, going very fast. It won't be like the dip in Newmarket on fast ground after going slow is a very difficult place to be in. And like, we felt that she coped well enough with it.
And does she mind you have her dad in any way?
Actually, listen, Camelot was a very brilliant horse, and I think he was probably the only Montjoie, obviously, to ever win a Guineas.
Very few Mondews even won mile races at group level, effectively.
I think that very few, if I can't think of another one, really. Mm. But he was a very brilliant horse, really.
And obviously then the daughter, Deep Impact Snowfall, who's had it was a really extraordinary performance from the front the last day as well. You must be delighted with her.
Yeah, we always thought she was very nice last year. She always done everything very good at home, and she was always a little bit disappointing. I suppose she had a winter under her belt in the spring, and she stepped up a little bit in trip, and we always felt that there was there was big races in her, so we were delighted with her, really.
Yeah, do you think she'll go there and all going well?
I think so, if she's well and everything is well between now and then, and the lads want to do it, I think there's every chance that she will.
Might you have anything else in the Oaks? Do you think that might be that in?
Well, she's there, obviously. And then there's a filly, a Jaconda, that ran in Chester. We think is a nice filly. And then there's a filly, a sister that found that ran in Lingfield. Mm. I think she finished fourth. We think she's very nice as well. So they're all possibles.
Just in relation to having Ryan Moore as well, you've had him in so many races this year, probably even more than might be normal. It must be just a great asset to have him riding these, even maidens as well, riding the top class horses.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I suppose, I think he only rode two winners here in Ireland last year because of the situation. So I think it's a help to him that he's over here more and more involved, really.
How does it work then? Is he over kind of like any sort of day to day, or is it race to race?
Yeah, no, he comes here as often as he can, obviously, and the racing has started now, so he obviously wasn't here this week, but I think he's back here Sunday, so all those things are it's good, it's great when he is here, really.
He seems as hungry as ever for it.
Yeah, no, he's a great fella to work with, and no, he's we're delighted with him, really.
And just, I suppose, to finish up in the classics then, you must be thrilled, you've effectively four of the sort of leading horses in the betting, really, for the two races.
Yeah, no, our horses have been running well, Johnny, lately, so that's good. Listen, so far, so good, really.
Just to reflect on that, lads, High Definition's run, Juki, was fascinating for me because looking at the betting afterwards, I kind of thought he'd have drifted a bit for the Derby, the Kazoo Derby, and in fact, he hasn't really, despite the fact that he's not going to win the race because Bolshoi Ballet will. Or is High Definition your idea of the winner? It's a fascinating picture dominated by Aidan O'Brien.
Yes, well, that Haggis horse is a coming force, and again, we have to respect Haggis, but I haven't looked up his record in a long time, but I remember when Shamit won the Derby, he then won the Oaks with Philly, his name, I can't remember, the worst memory in the world, but they were his first runners in the respective races. So when Haggis targets one of the Epsom Classics, you have to look out. But yeah, the Bolshoi looks the real deal. Not sure it was the strongest Derrenstown in the world, but he was mildly impressed. And High Definition, just a slow learner, isn't he? And whether he'd have learned enough, I would fancy him to turn around the form with the winner in Epsom over the longer trip and on better ground. The winner of the Dante hits the ground very hard. I'd be a bit worried about him on better ground. So I could see High Definition running well, but I wouldn't think whether he'd ever be good enough to beat Bolshoi over a mile and a half, I'd have my reservations. But certainly at this stage of his life, I'd be surprised if he does.
Brian, when Bolshoi Ballet won his maiden at Leopardstown, I remember I was actually texting people that day and saying, this horse looks something special the way he strides out the line. He's 25s for the Derby. Didn't have a penny on him. Instead, I backed Fernando Vici, who might win some other sort of a Derby or whatever. But he's just got something about the way he finishes his races, a turn of foot. And in fairness, I did also think High Definition last year might actually be too slow to win a Derby because it took him so long to get going in mile races. It might be more of a ledger horse. What's your take on it?
Bolshoi Ballet, yeah, I just had that side on shot at Leopardstown the other day when he quickened up and Ryan gave him the office to go. The way he got down, he's just so controlled and balanced and quickened up. Look, he's a very worthy Derby favourite. He's had the experience of running France last year and travelling, and he's won the two trials that High Chaparral won in the past year at Leopardstown. He ticks a lot of boxes. He's very, very compact, lovely way of going. High Definition, I wouldn't write him off, Johnny.
What did you make of the Dante, actually? Because it was, as Aidan said there, it was a slightly tricky race in terms of how it worked out tactically and pace-wise.
Well, there's no point having a pacemaker if you're not bringing the field with you. And they just disregarded Holly Dial, and she went along at a hard gallop on her own. And you know, that didn't bring the rest of the field into the race. They rode their own race, high definitions out the back. He's green, but took all day to get going. I love the way he hit the line in the last furlong. He'd improve a hell of a lot for it. You're going another mile and a half, furlong and a half in Epsom. He's had the benefit of a run, not a great prep. I wouldn't be against him come the first Saturday in June, and he could be a little bit of value for all that. He might be a slight bit more work in progress than Balce Ballet. Maybe the Irish Derby might see high definition at its best, maybe not Epsom, but he's definitely in that category for me. And I think the way he galloped out by the win line was quite good.
Actually, an interesting aspect today, Fran, at Leopardstown, obviously the Breast Cancer Ireland trials. I think this could become a major, major fixture for Leopardstown in that it could become like a very popular fixture for people to go to. It's a Friday evening in the summer and a really worthy cause. But also the aspect of the lady riders in that race. Holly Doyle riding for Ballydoyle was fascinating. And it was probably almost like another step in her education that she's riding essentially a pacemaker for Ballydoyle.
Very much so, and it's another, you know, reinforcement of how far she's come in the last couple of years to pick up a ride like that for Ballydoyle. Early in the season, with COVID and everything else, you don't know what she might gain through the year. You know, she could pick up a good ride on a good day for Aidan. The breast cancer thing today, Johnny, I seen your off the ball piece yesterday. That was very good in your pink T-shirt. And it's a great initiative. They used to have a fundraiser here at Leopardstown at the end of the year. The last flat meeting, Kathleen Reynolds, Albert Reynolds' wife, used to organise it. And she sadly passed away last week. And it's good to see a new initiative bringing it on now. And that ladies' race is a great initiative. We've seen great scenes 2 years ago when Hayley Turner won it on Arthurian Fame, didn't we?
Absolutely. I think it has a load of scope. Because when you get people involved in racing and there's a good cause, we saw with the fundraising from the Big Force in racing and when Pat's Mullen was ill and for pancreatic cancer research, was amazing stuff. Johnny Mack, let's talk about the betting for the Derby and the Oaks and start with the Derby.
Yeah, we've gone 6-4 Balshai Ballet on the back of the Derrinstown win, Johnny. 9-2 high definition. We are 6 as yesterday's winner, Hurricane Lane and Mohafet. That's the horse who's won his last three, and we're betting 11-1 back. I agree with Fran, though. I watched back the Bally Sacks and the Derrinstown this morning, and you could visualise Balshai Ballet powering down that straight at Epsom, the way he lengthens down the straight there at Leopardstown. I thought he was very, very impressive. And the Derrinstown win was even more visually impressive than the Bally Sacks win.
I'm absolutely sick of having backed him for the Derby. And it's the ship has sailed now, but I might just back him out of sheer spite on the day. What about the Oaks betting?
The Oaks betting, we are now 6-4. So we're 9-4 Santa Barbara. There was good money for her all through the winter. 9-4 now, having looked green in the English 1,000 guineas, finishing fourth. Snowfall, second favourite. And Sea Empress, I just want to give her a mention because she runs tomorrow in what looks a very good race at Newbury. Mm. I think 7 of the 9 won on their debut. She's trained by William Haggis. She could be a dark one for the Epsom Oaks.
Snowfall is one Juki I put up and backed a few times, a two-year-old. She never really delivered. I absolutely love Deep Impact as a stallion, but she's obviously progressed into a three-year-old and she adds a bit of spice to the mix because I as much as Santa Barbara produced a great performance in the Guineas, I think you could certainly, there are reasons to take her on in the Oaks.
Oh, there's an awful lot of reasons to take her on in the Oaks. She runs too keen, so there's having issues. I didn't think she handled the dip. I disagree with Aidan there. I didn't think she handled the dip.
You disagree with Aidan?
Well, it's a game of opinion, Charlie. Let the viewers decide who knows more about horse racing, me or Aidan O'Brien.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you keep going? Because you were mid-flow and I interrupted you rudely there.
Well, that's all right. It was a big call. And also, what's she going to do when she gets into a battle? She's going to stick her head in the air. So I thought I had the Oaks worked out with Noonstar. I had her backed, but that was a disappointment. Now, Snowfall did get a solo in front, but you could overdo the... Oh, she stole the race. She must have won 4 or 5 lengths. So, I mean, she really quickened up well. I know her stamina wasn't fully tested in York, but she was very strong at the line. She could be just one of these Aidan O'Brien fillies that when a peep and form type or something, when they come alive, there's no end to their improvement. I certainly wouldn't rule that out. I want to take on Santa Barbara. We just haven't found out what I'm going to take her on yet, if that makes any sense.
I'm exactly with you on that. Exact same. Fran?
Look, Snowfall, Deep Impact, 3-year-old out of Galileo Mayor, they're only going to get better with age. I thought Ryan it's been well documented, was very good on her, but she was the best horse of the day also at the end of the race. And, you know, her dam won over a mile and a half in Cork and, you know, stepping up to a mile and a half on good ground at Epsom. She's a definite player, Johnny. If anyone jumped the gun and backed her after she was supposedly turning the filly's mile, they might be on the right end of it now, because she's definitely a contender. I can't find anything I'm really mad about at this stage to take her on. Sea Empress and Snow Lantern are two very interesting ones, but I think Aidan O'Brien would be very happy coming out of York. He's got two live ones for the Oaks. Santa Barbara, she's going to have another half mile to go around Epsom. I do agree with Juki. The last furlong, if she cocks that jaw, goes left, it might prove troublesome, but maybe she's that good, she'll have enough done by then.
Well, let's hear more from Aidan O'Brien, before which this week's Golden Oldie, 18 years ago, which made me a little bit depressed. I remember watching this race and being gobsmacked like everyone else.
Hawkwing forced to make his own running here. Dome Driver and Where or When on his heels. They both got tremendous turns of foot. Real Buddy is fourth on the near side, and then Olden Times and Tillerman under pressure. They're really quickening up now as they're going towards the final 2.5 furlongs. And Hawkwing has got them on the stretch. Where or When driven hard. Dome Driver's not picking up at the moment. Real Buddy on the stand side, but Hawkwing, he's beginning to get away from Where or When as they run down towards the final 2.5. Hawkwing by 6 lengths to Where or When. Dome Driver, a smart horse, is left toiling in third place. Then Real Buddy, and racing inside the final furlong, Hawkwing, he's absolutely destroying them here. Where or When 10 lengths down in second place. Hawkwing makes it all. A brilliant performance in the Lock-in Stakes. Hawkwing by a mile from Where or When in second. Olden Times through for third. Then in fourth was Dome Driver, Real Buddy, and Tillerman right out with the washing.
And here's something that might depress you a little bit. It's 18 years since Hawkwing won the Lock-in. Does it feel like that?
No, it doesn't. That's incredible. I didn't realize it was that long ago, would you believe?
Just briefly on that performance that day, I think it was one of those performances that kind of, obviously he was maybe a little bit of an enigmatic horse, but it was one of them performances that was great for racing when you see a horse can do something like that.
Yeah, no, he was an awful lot of natural ability, obviously. He was, I think he was just beaten in the Guineas. He was just beaten in the Derby, you know. So, sure. Listen, he's a very natural horse with a lot of ability, is right.
And you have a son of Luke de Vega, then Luke Fernandez going on Saturday.
Yeah, very happy with him. He had a very good run in the Irish Guineas last year, and it kind of, I suppose, it messed up his year really, because it was a slowly run, messy race, and like we came out of the race not knowing what he was, whether he was a sprinter or whether he was a miler, and we kind of messed around with trips with him the whole year, kind of between kind of 6-7 furlongs, and we ended up deciding at the end he was a miler, and he went to America and for the Breeders' Cup and ran an unbelievable race in the mile, and we just had it in our head then through this year we would get him ready through the winter and train him as a miler. The plan was he'd have his first three runs were going to be Leopardstown, then the Lock-in, and then the Queen Anne. That was the plan for his three runs, really. So, we were delighted with his first run.
Give him an E-tray chance.
And we're very happy with him, Johnny. He's everything has went well since Leopardstown, and now we're looking forward to Saturday.
So we've mentioned Horse by Galileo, by Camelot, by Deep Impact, by Luke de Vega, and finally by one of the more exciting sires in Caravaggio. That's Catamasto, who obviously was very impressive first time out and might run on Sunday.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking of. I'm obviously seeing the morning how she is. She's like a lot of Caravaggio. She's really able to quicken, which is an unusual thing in a horse. And
what do you mean by that?
I suppose it's what makes those good horses very good, is that ones that can change gears, and that's what she is able to do. And I think some of the Caravaggios that have run, that's what they have been doing, you know. So I suppose in any athlete, that's what kind of makes the difference between the good and the real good, is the ones that can change a gear and quicken up, you know. So and that's what she did at Nace, really.
And like those Caravaggios, you're obviously reliant on sort of you want to see a good new sire come through, particularly for the Galileo bred mares. Has he impressed you so far?
Yes, yeah, very. We think he's very exciting. I think he's out of small few runners he's had two rising stars, and very few get those. And he's after having two of them of a very small number, like two fillies, you know. So that's very unusual, really.
And you obviously want to see them that they're kind of straightforward as well. Is that kind of a trait that he's implanted in the horse that you've seen?
I suppose you saw the ones we've ran, they've relaxed and travel well and quickened very well, you know. So, no, she'd have to be very excited at the moment.
Are you enjoying it as much yourself as you ever did?
Yeah, absolutely. Johnny, we enjoy every day, and it's absolutely great, really.
It's actually this time last year I was talking to you, and you were very conscious of the fact that racing served a great purpose for people who couldn't get out, particularly elderly people who were, you know, they were cocooned in the house and still are, you know, a year later. And I guess you're conscious of the fact that elderly people who've watched racing down the years, and, you know, we still have trainers in this country who are, you know, well into their 80s, well into their 70s and so forth. For the people who can't go racing, it is great that we have been able to keep the show on the road.
Oh, no, absolutely. And it's marvellous for everybody to be able to watch it, and that it is carrying on, really. But hopefully now we're not far away from everyone getting back racing, and I think it'll be great for everybody.
We're nearly finished up. Question from Brendan Duke. How will Santa Barbara handle the downhill run? Have they worked around that Tattenham corner replica that they have at Ballydoyle? The great Brendan Duke.
Yeah, no, she you never know that. But like I said, she got through the dip in Newmarket. She canters around Tattenham corner most days that she works anyway. So, but listen, there's no guarantees about anything. But like, she seems a very well balanced, classy, pacey filly. So it will be interesting.
And final question, have you been impressed at all with Fran Berry as a TV presenter, and does he have a bit of a future?
Berry.
Berry. That's one word to sum it up, Aidan. We were trying to figure out had he ever ridden a winner for you, but he reckoned he did. He rode a lot of good races. He reckoned he rode one or two winners for you.
I did, absolutely. Yeah, no, listen, great fella, yeah. So, look forward to watching him and listening to him every night. So, absolutely.
You say all the right things. Thanks a million, Aidan.
Pleasure, Johnny. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Aidan O'Brien. He's in good form, Fran.
Very good form. Yeah, good form. And I'd say he's delighted that in the last week between Bolshoi Ballet and getting high definition out, there's, you know, they're looking, struggling for a good horse 2 weeks ago a bit, weren't they?
Will Lupi Fernandez win the what's a fascinating renewal, obviously, of the big race on Sunday? I'm just looking at we get betting with you, John. What odds is Lupi Fernandez?
He's currently, I think he's around 5-1, Johnny. I can't be sure at the moment, but around about 5-1 at the moment. Lots of people might view him as an each way bet to nothing, because although there's a big field there, I think you can put a line through quite a few of them. So the each way thieves, people like Fran Berry, will be out to steal a bit of each way value.
Any each way thievery in the Al Shakab lock-in stakes, Fran?
Yep. Look, I think Palace Pier is the best horse by a long way. That track will suit him very well. Lupi is interesting going a mile this year as a four-year-old, but just Palace Pier, it's very hard to get by him, and he's, you know, look, he's the horse to beat. I will give the complete outsider field, bless him, number one, Jamie Spencer taking the ride. He'll be ridden to run well. Newbury's a track where if you don't get involved, you can finish well and pick up the piece late on. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Jamie smuggle him into second, third or fourth late on.
Watching brief for you, Juki?
Well, it will be a watching brief, Johnny, because I don't play at really sharp prices. But if I was a braver man, this Palace Pier looks completely bomb. Although, having said that, I'd have said the same thing about Ascot last October, but that was on bad ground at the end of a long season. Something just went wrong that day. I suppose that's the perils of backing horses at prices like this. That's such a sharp price. They're not machines. But if the real Palace Pier turns, I think he's the best horse in training. He'll beat these hollow.
Well, that's a fair shout, because he pretty much has the rating to be that as well. But this is what you've been waiting for, listeners and viewers. We're going to get into the meat of Navin, a card that it sounds like Juki's actually spent about a minute and a half looking at.
No, Fran,
sorry, Juki.
No, I did. I looked at it, and I just, the more I looked, the less I knew. It's one of
you said it looked like a bomb site, I think was your wording.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get to the racing itself, because this Irish Stallion Farms EBF Yates Stakes obviously honors one of the great stayers. Just starting with you, I know you have a strong fancy in this race, Johnny Mack, and this Wordsworth, beautiful, beautiful pedigree by Galileo to Chelsea Rose, who obviously was trained by the late Con Collins, was up against Sir Lucan a Camelot horse who's raised 104, but was obviously a bit disappointing the last day. And yeah, I suppose the interesting horse in the race is Party House, another Camelot trained by Ger Lyons. But I believe the script is written as far as you're concerned, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, I just like Wordsworth at the car the last day. Just took a while to get on top, but at the line he was very strong, and a horse of Joe Murphy's, Agrimony, that was second, cannot have won at Goran, so it's given the form a bit of a boost. And yeah, Wordsworth with that super pedigree, I think he should improve again from that car run, and I think he'd be very, very hard to beat.
Fran?
Wordsworth stepping up to mile and five, Johnny. This is a legitimate potential classic horse. He could run well through the season. He could be a ledger horse, and he'd be very hard to beat up in distance. He was going through the motions in the last two furlongs at the Curragh. I would give Party House a big mention for Ger Lyons. I thought she was very good in debut, and given she wasn't all that strong in the market, there has to be more improvement to come, and she could, you know, put it up to him. But this Galileo horse, he's a nice horse in the making, and he should win.
What are you thinking, Juki?
Yes, I would be inclined to agree with the lads. He'd be a short price, but I think that Agrimony is a fair horse. I mean, a handicapper, he'd be a decent handicapper. Wordsworth kicked him out of the way. As Fran said, he was dossing a bit in the last furlong, and I think he'll win.
I'm going to give two horses at Navan, and I know you have one as well, Fran. The first one is in the 450. Now, Stellify was very kind of a little bit unlucky, I suppose you'd say, last two runs back when running at Sligo, and basically backed that run up since. But Eastern Tornado was just behind Stellify at Sligo that time, and both the horses are actually by Canford Cliffs. But Eastern Tornado was trained by Michael Hourigan Jr., met plenty of traffic on that occasion, looked very, very raw under pressure, and I think has a massive each-way chance. Colin Keane riding, and a horse I'm very, very sweet on. I don't know, Fran, if you remember a horse, Glock Amara, trained by Bill Farrell?
Indeed, yes. Yeah, he was a good horse up to Curragh in sprints, yeah.
Did you ride it?
Don't think so. He's probably one of the few I didn't.
And Glock Amara was a good sprinter. And Bill Farrell is basically a trainer that had a very good time for, a very shrewd operator. Wouldn't have that many runners, but he's teamed up with Chris Hayes for the Sprint Maiden. That is the 3:40 tomorrow. She's in the game is a horse by Star Spangled Banner. Was ridden by 10-pound claimer Niamh Bennett last time. I think Niamh showed plenty of problems. She's had a few rides so far. This horse is absolutely crying out to be backed. Would be my nap the weekend. We will get the naps later, but I think she looks very well handicapped. Travelled great in the race and she'll come on from that with a bit more cover and maybe the freshness out of her. Fran, what do you like at Navan?
At Navan, we start second race, big field sprint maiden, and never mad about a four-year-old giving weight to three-year-olds, but however, in a sprint maiden, it can be done. And number two, Shikoko, trained by Kieran Cotter, ran extremely well in debut at the track, second to Linda Barrett, who's run well a couple of times since. Any bit of normal improvement, that one should be hard to beat, stable and good form. And Johnny, last race, nap of the weekend, Safari Quest, trained by Ger Lyons, ran extremely well on his second start at Leopardstown. Coming home well to run third behind Southern Lights. Southern Lights was a bit unlucky in the Durrenstown the other day. I think he would have been second with a clear run. Hellbent went on to win by 5 lengths in Sligo to second. And Safari Quest came home well without being knocked about. I do think he's a nice horse to make. And he has Paddy Toomey's horse and Trophy, who is well backed in that race in debut to take on tomorrow. But I think Safari Quest is a better horse at this trip, at this stage of the season.
Are you in Nace on Sunday?
I am, yes. Yeah. Just going to run through the decks here. Always a good card, informative card, I'd say, yeah.
Yeah, it starts at 140, Juki, and we have an interesting situation with this race card where we've sort of the five best races are the last five races. One, the Coolmore Stud, Calix race, and then you have four pattern races after that, and this is a card that you've put your teeth into.
Yes, the last race is particularly tricky. A lot of horses with plenty to prove there. But so the 3:10, this Catamasto looked really good in Dundalk. I don't think the ground's going to be too bad. It's yielding at the moment. There's a few showers about, but I'd say it'd be good in the going description. It's quite warm at the moment. I'd say it'd be good in the going description by the time the first is off. So Catamasto looked good. Silver Surfer has run well since. That form should be strong enough to take out that 3:10. Excuse me. Then you have the 3:40. Yeah, this is a very interesting race. So few have a bit to prove, but this Logo Hunter's going the right way, isn't he? And I thought he travelled really well in Navan the last day over 5.5 furlongs. 5.5 furlongs in Navan would be a fair test. Drop back to 5 here, I think it'll suit him. I thought he travelled better than Measure of Magic in Navan, actually. And, of course, the form of his handicap win against Munista has been boosted since. So that's the Logo Hunter in the 340. Liked him. 410, again, very hard to get away from Maiden's filly. The Contarelli Chapel by Caravaggio bolted up from... We had good word for Jairs that day, didn't we, Johnny, that day? Mm. She was really well-regarded filly. She hasn't run since. But I wouldn't say they're far wrong. Jair normally likes to target that bait. But I'd say to beat her by 5.5 lengths was a fair effort for the Contarelli Chapel. A short price, but I'd be very surprised if she gets beaten. And then what are we going to do about this? A Case of You in the 440. So, I mean, this looked a fair horse as a two-year-old. Kick Lipizzana out of the way. Then he changed stables, went to aid on McGuinness. Beat Logo Hunter out the gate in Dundalk, so proved he trained on. And then whatever happened in Leopardstown, it wasn't the trip. He jumped out and he got pushed a bit wide and he ran a bit keen. He just ran no sort of race that day, beat 9 lengths. Drops back to 6 furlongs here. Not for a sprint. There's actually not a whole pile of pace in the race. I think he might be able to get on with it. And Ronan will hopefully be able to settle him a bit better back over 6 furlongs. I still think he's a very talented horse and he can hopefully prove it here. The last race, well, I hope. I mean, this is why you
on that race, Juki. I mean, I gotta ask your opinion on Aidan's horse, the Kingman, who just looked so promising first time out. I remember when he won that day, he had this gorgeous kind of just gorgeous physicality, really. I was thinking this Admiral Nelson, he's gonna go on to good things. He did anything but really. He's been very disappointed since, but does reappear as a 3-year-old. And will he leave? Will he finally build on that early promise?
Yeah, maybe he's the way to go, because there are more questions than answers in this race. I was kind of looking, as you know, I have weak sales resistance at the best of times. I was kind of looking for a steer on this race, because all I can see are reasons why horses would get beaten. He did look very good in the current, and then he was well punted in the Coventry. So they obviously thought they had a fair horse. Maybe he will come, but maybe he's the option there. Yeah, I'm stuck on that race. So I row in with you there with the Admiral Nelson.
Johnny Mack, your take on the Nace card?
Yeah, good card. I really liked the Aidan O'Brien filly, that Contarelli Chapel. When Ryan Moore gave her a squeeze, she absolutely took off like a rocket up the hill. I think she put 5 lengths between her and Ger Lyons. There was a lot of money for Ger Lyons that day as well. I thought she'd be very hard to beat. And a quick mention of Jesse's one as well in the sprint, Indigo Balance. He was a good juvenile a couple of years ago. I think they went to Australia with him, but he's back in Harrington's and he was impressive the last day at Tipperary, winning by 6 lengths. He might be hard to beat in the sprint handicap, or in the sprint, is that listed sprint?
Indeed, Fran.
Yeah, before we get to the perceived good races, 240, rain will be a big thing for a couple of my teams.
If Band of Outlaws is making his return to action.
Yeah, best luck to you with that one. I'll take Rock Aroma, Ger Lyons.
Not good when Fran Berry, son of Frank Berry, says best of luck with that one. JP McManus is horse making a return from 654 days. You're not confident.
You'd be better off ringing Frank and finding out what's happening than I would. So that's you can make that call, Johnny. Rock Aroma, for me, if the grand stays yielding or even to get a bit of showers, she's black type filly running a handicap. She was a very good winner at Leopardstown on her last run. I think she's only going to be better as a 4-year-old. I know she's got top weight, but given the stable form, maybe it's a starting point for her to go to Guineas weekend or something, but I'd be quite interested in her. I totally agree with Juki in the 440, a case of you for me, but again, with the ground, I think he needs proper cutting the ground to be at his best. He's a sprinter on soft ground. The last day here at Leopardstown, as Juki said, he got bumped into the first bend. He cocked the jaw and he basically ran with the choke out all the way on good ground. What he'd done in the car last year was quite taken, and he was a good winner on return at Dundalk. And if the ground is yielding, he's a nap nearly on Sunday, yeah.
You mentioned Rock Aroma there, Fran. Now, she's by Australia. What have you made of Australia as a stallion so far? Because all the talk was that he'd loads of speed for Galileo, that he's, I think his clockwork was exceptional. Now, you're looking at these Galileos. A lot of them haven't really made into big stallions. Frankel will probably be the exception, obviously. A lot of them have been disappointed enough at Stud, I would argue. We'll see how Churchill gets on today and so forth. What have you made of Australia at this early-ish, but not too early stage?
It's early days, isn't it? You know, for me, I can never see the shorter raced angle. Like, you see Broome this year as a five-year-old, isn't it now? Like, he's coming good. And Art of Australia obviously won a mile, but the Breeders' Cup. Sir Ron Priestley is there. You know, there's plenty of them there. I think they need time and distance, really. And I think you're just reading the ads when they say they've got loads of speed.
Yeah. Contrarelli Chapel, obviously, she was a brilliant ambassador for Caravaggio. What first-season stallions are you looking forward to?
Caravaggio has made a very good start to his career, and he's been well, you know, well put out there. If you like, he's a runner in every two-year-old maiden at the minute. I prefer his fillies to his colts based on what I've seen. I've had a bit of a blank now, but it'd be interesting to see how the year goes on. Just back to Rock-A-Rome, actually, Johnny. She's a half sister, of course, to Safari Rock-A-Tomo, Quest.
Yeah.
Rock-A-Tomo and Safari Quest runs on Saturday, so I'm all in that family the weekend.
And anything else for you at Nice?
At KCU, as I mentioned, Cadamasco, if he pitches up in that two-year-old race, he should go well. But again, he's been drawn a couple of times because of a cut in the ground. So, and he was very good in Dundalk. So better the ground, I'd say, the better he would be. I'd agree with John, Indigo Balance. And in the last race, that list of races, a good few horses that are in and out of form and whatnot. If ground was soft or yielding, Lusttown Baba would be interesting. Great record in Nice. And if it dries out a bit, maybe Nord for Jessica Harrington.
Is it time to get to our naps, gentlemen?
I think so.
Let's start with you, Juki.
I would go for the Logo Hunter in the 340 in Nace.
Why?
Well, he's an improving three-year-old. I like to drop back to 5 furlongs. And I think he has the form to be really competitive. The Make a Challenge. If the real Make a Challenge shows up, he should win. But that's a big question to answer. And he's got a penalty to carry. Logo Hunter, no penalty. Proven three-year-old. Form of the Cork handicap win has been boosted. That measure of magic is a fair horse. I think he's going the right way and doesn't have to prove a whole lot to this race.
Let's get to my nap. So She's in the Game. That's in the race at Navan, as I mentioned earlier, the 340 at Navan. Filly by Star Spangled Banner for Bill Farrell and Chris Hayes. Travels like a horse that's way better than a mark 52. I think she's a massive chance. Let's get to Johnny Maxnap.
I'm going to go with Wordsworth in the Gate Stakes on Saturday. I thought he was dossing at the car the last time, and there should be a lot more improvement to come.
And finally, Fran.
Yeah, as mentioned earlier, last race in Navan, Safari Quest, Jarlines' runner, that run at Leopardstown was good. He should improve off that, and I expect him to take quite a bit of beating.
Thanks a million, lads.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thanks,
pleasure.
John.
Have a good one.
Have a great weekend, and if you are watching or listening in, all the various social channels, be it YouTube or Twitter, don't be afraid to comment and give your reaction, to give some tips on the show on the way forward. We're here for a long time, it would seem, which is going to be a lot of fun, a fascinating summer ahead. Juki, we're nearly back racing. I can smell it in the air.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm completely despondent. I can't do podcasts in the nip for the next 6 months. And Johnny's told me that the Plowin Championships in September have already been cancelled. Johnny Mack, should I say. So I don't feel like I'm going to get back racing like a racing in England sometime.
Fran Berry Shabeen is becoming more and more of a possible outlet, I think.
Well, basically, just the nut house. I mean, the people who are half mad are fully mad now. And I was teetering between sanity and half madness anyway, so I don't know where that leaves me, but I need to get to the races, Johnny, if only for therapy. We're getting care of the community levels at this stage. I need to be on the racetrack.
We shall talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Racing TV podcast on the wire. We hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review, and don't forget to subscribe to be alerted as soon as the next episode is available.